I have a riddle for you. What is something that almost everyone has that, when it works properly, is one of the most irritating and aggravating things in the world? No, I'm not talking about your boss. I'm talking about alarm clocks. Think about it, alarm clocks. Necessary, but extremely irritating. And most everyone has one. Most everyone relies upon them at some point in their life. Well, typical alarm clocks, you know, have, you know, a few settings, a few standard settings on each alarm clock. You know, obviously, one is to set an alarm, two to shut off the alarm when you don't need it any longer, and three, a snooze button. And the point of the snooze button is to give you another 5, 7, or 9 minutes of extra sleep so that you can kind of cheat the alarm clock a little bit. And a lot of people use that feature, including myself. I have a little bit of an alarm story here. Several years ago at a job I don't have any longer. I don't remember what time I had to be there, but let's say I had to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I was just extra tired that morning for whatever reason. And I woke up, you know, like an hour early or whatever. I had like a 15, 20-minute commute to work. So I wake up around 7, let's say, and, you know, the alarm goes off, and I'm really tired. And even though you don't really have your bearings in the morning, you know, us non-morning people, you're still able to have that little debate in your mind, realizing your few options at that point. Do I get up? I'm really tired. Do I shut the alarm off completely? No, I can't do that. I got to get to work. So this is what I'll do. I'll hit the snooze button. I'll buy myself another 5, 7, or 9 minutes, whatever it was, and we'll go through the entire process again later. So I did. And another 5 minutes went by, and the alarm goes off again, trying to wake me up, and hit the snooze again. And I think this probably happened 3 or 4 times, at least, until I made the decision, without really knowing it, to shut the alarm off completely. And so what happened, it got to be around 7:42, and I had to be at work at 8 o'clock, and I wake up, and I realize the suddenness of the hour, and I'm in that panic mode now, and realizing, questioning in my mind, can I get to work by 8 o'clock? I have about 18 minutes. It's about 15 minutes to get there. If I don't eat breakfast, if I don't brush my teeth, even though that's really gross, if I throw my clothes on, yeah, I think I could do it. And that's so that's what I did. I, you know, threw my morning routine out the window. I just threw my clothes on and I jumped in the car and I raced to work. And guess what? I made it on time. Barely. Like seconds. And I mean that, seconds. And I'm kind of sad to say that I made it on time, because in order to do so, I sort of had to drive a very dangerous speed in a very dangerous way, a way that I'm not proud of, putting countless people at risk, including myself. Why? So that I wouldn't, you know, get questioned by my boss or a stern talking to, probably at most, maybe at the most, written up. So yeah, so I drove a dangerous speed in a dangerous way, and I got to my job on time instead of doing what I should have done, which is what? Wake up on time. Okay, even if I hit the snooze once or twice at the worst, I get up at plenty of time, you know, to do my morning routine, to drive a normal speed limit, a normal way, and get to my job on time. But I didn't do that because I was lazy and I wanted extra sleep. And when I found out that I was, you know, late or going to be late, I decided to make another foolish decision and just rush everything instead of just going at a normal pace and just, you know, taking my consequences. So I don't know if you have a story like that, but alarm clocks are very useful when they're working, but at the same time, obviously, are very irritating to non-morning people. I don't have to worry about that any longer because I have 4 young children and they're what you call organic alarm clocks. They wake me up very properly in the morning. So I don't know if you, again, if you use alarm clocks or if you have an alarm clock story like that, but in Romans chapter 13, if you have your Bibles, Paul, at the end of the chapter, uses language in such a way that it reminds me of a spiritual alarm clock. And I came to this passage several years ago, and it just struck me. It struck me because of the way it was written, and it struck me because of my lifestyle at that moment. Because my lifestyle at that moment was very similar to the story I just described about me in the morning hitting the snooze button. And this passage came to me at a very, very good time, Well, it was really a bad time because of the way I was living, but it came to me at a very necessary time. And I realized after reading these words that I had a decision to make. I could A, wake up. I could B, shut it off completely, act like I never read it. Or I could delay it and just hope that at one point it came to me again and gave me that decision over. But I'm happy to say, by the grace of God, that this time it worked. It woke me from my slumber. Anyways, I'm going to read the passage here quickly. It's verses 11 to 14 of Romans chapter 13. When I first came to this passage, I ended up memorizing it because of the impact it had on my life. And I actually memorized it in a different version than I'm going to read to you today. But so if I slip into two different versions, that's why. This is what it says, Romans 13, 11 to 14. It says, "Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake up from your sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." Do you see that language there? It seems like Paul is warning the Romans Christians to wake up, that the time has come. In fact, that's exactly what he says in verse 11. "Besides this, you know the time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your sleep." That's an alarm clock, isn't it? He is telling the Romans, the church there in Rome, it is high time to wake up. And I don't know exactly what was going on. Paul did. He had a really good relationship with his church. And he knew that they needed to have a spiritual alarm clock at that moment. They needed to wake up from their sleep. They needed to stop hitting the snooze button. They needed to stop delaying, stop turning off God's commandments and God's will, and get moving. And again, I was struck by that passage because, you know, I thought of myself, first of all, physically, that I don't like alarm clocks. I don't like having to wake up physically in the morning. But as I thought through my life, this was at a really crucial time in my life where I was really wandering from God, really apathetic, really lukewarm at best. And I read these words and it pierced me as if to say, "Todd, you've hit the snooze button way too long. You have been warned and disciplined and convicted and had guilt and all of these things in your life to get you to wake up. And you just kept hitting the snooze over and over and over. And it may have even been to a point that I turned it off completely and neglected the word of God, neglected all of God's warnings and all of his discipline. And I was in a very dark period in my life. And yet God decided in his grace to show me this passage. And as I'm hoping it did for the Romans when Paul read that, it really struck a chord. Because as Paul says, he says in verse 11, "Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed." Basically, as I read it then and as I read it now, it's the same application. I have never been as close as I am right now to standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. To standing before him, being judged. And I needed to hear that because I was thinking, you know, I had all this time. I was a young 20-something. I got my whole life ahead of me. Who really needs to buckle down then? You know, once I get my family, once I get my job, once I get my feet under myself, I really start buckling down for God. And I actually convinced myself of that. And I thought I was convincing God of that. That if God would just let me get my life in order a little bit, that I would really buckle down. Because I remember hearing sermons, you know, over and over, of how serious the Christian life is. And I used to be convicted by those things a lot, going, wow, God is not messing around. And I used to tell myself, almost this verbatim, I used to tell myself at some point, I'm going to have to really buckle down and take this Christian life very seriously, because it is very serious in Scripture. And I knew that. And that's the thing about this, is that I knew that. And yet I kept hitting the snooze over and over and over until I woke up one day in sort of a panic as I read this passage going, it's high time for you to wake up from your sleep. Salvation is nearer to you now than when you first believed. Verse 12, the night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And this isn't the only passage like this in Scripture. There's one in Matthew, I think, 24, where Jesus is basically saying, listen, no one knows the hour when I'm going to come back. In fact, Jesus even says he doesn't even know the hour. That's up to the Father alone. And so we are like sort of kept off balance with when Jesus is going to come back, and he wants it that way, so that those who are ready are preparing themselves and are awake when he comes back, and those who aren't are caught off guard. And of course, that's not the first time we find out that the Lord is coming back. I mean, it's all over Scripture. And I feel like there's alarm clocks all over Scripture basically telling us, wake up. Wake up. You're walking in a way where if the Lord Jesus Christ came back today, you wouldn't want to be. Wake up. You don't want to be in this position when the Lord comes back. And I knew that was right. When I was reading this in my early 20s, I knew that was right. I didn't want to be living this way when the Lord came back. And I got scared a little bit, and I think that was necessary. I had that panic in my heart to go, I got to wake up. I got to stop hitting the snooze. And I thank and praise God for this, because he didn't have to do that for me. I hit the snooze so many times already. It was sort of, you know, up to me to just face the consequences of that. But God gave me this passage in Romans 13. And what he says in verse 13 is, let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. These aren't things you want to live in. These aren't things that please God. These aren't things that where you can actually do the will of God while you're doing these things. And Paul tells the Romans and tells us, cast them off completely. And then he says in verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. So really what he's saying in a nutshell is, wake up, repent of all known sin. All lifestyle sin, all sins where you know it's wrong and you keep doing it over and over and over. Repent. Wake up. You can't live this way any longer. But that's only half the game. The other half is verse 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put him on. Just like I had to scramble and put my clothes on and race out the door when I was late and had to get to work. He was saying, you're late. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. You need to wake up, and you need to put on Christ. But what's also interesting is that passage that I read you is sort of out of context if you don't read the verses right before it. Because in verses 8 to 11, the verses right before this passage, he's sort of describing what it looks like to be awake spiritually. It also, you know, can include the things I just mentioned there in verses, you know, 13 and 14. Which is casting off sin, certainly. Every person that is awake, spiritually speaking, is doing that, is warring against sin and putting off sin in their life. But in verses 8 to 11, Paul says this. He says, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And then in verse 13, verse 11, he says the words that I just read to you a few minutes ago. He says, besides this, you know the time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your sleep. So the application is very simple. A, if you're sleeping spiritually, and I'm guessing that might be happening to someone listening here today. The application is very simple. Number one, wake up. Wake up, confess your sin, realize that the day is at hand, the night is far gone, and it is time to wake up. It is time to stop wasting time. It's time to stop acting like a child. It's time to stop flirting with the world and its desires. It's time to stop living in sin. It's time to stop living in apathy, to living in a lukewarm lifestyle. It's time to wake up. Secondly, it's time to put off all sin. And it's time to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, to clothe yourself in Christ. And really what that means is to have faith in him, to follow him, to obey him, to line up behind him and go the way that he went. Because that's what it means to have faith, is to follow Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, and most profoundly, love. Walk in love. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Because that's what it means to walk in the day. If you're not walking in love, you're walking in darkness. Because he says in this passage right here, that's how you fulfill the entire law. All the commandments that God gave you, every single one of them, you go down the list. It's talking about loving God and loving others. And if you will wake up from your sleep, whatever that looks like in your life, and you will start loving God and loving others, you'll be awake. You'll be ready. You'll be alert. You'll be doing what you need to do when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And the thing about it is, we are not told when he's coming back. But we are warned. We are warned this very day by this very passage that he is coming back. It's going to be at a time you don't expect. So the only application is to always be awake. Always be ready. Always be doing what pleases the Lord. You don't want to be caught off guard. You don't want to be living in a season of sin. You don't want to be living in apathy and lukewarm lifestyle. You want to be doing what the Lord has called you and saved you to do. And that's walking in holiness and walking in love. I hope this has been encouraging for you. For any of you who may be walking in some sort of apathy or some sort of sin, that you know, God has made it aware to you several times already. You need to put that off. You need to wake up from your sleep. You need to prepare yourself for the kingdom of God. And then secondly, you need to walk in obedience and love. Because that's why you were created. That's why you were saved. That's why you were redeemed from the pit. And so I pray and I challenge you and I challenge myself to wake up even tonight, even this very day, and walk in a new way, walk in a new obedience and a new perspective towards the kingdom of God, and put all darkness and all slumber aside, because it's high time to awake from sleep. Thanks for listening.